Mr. Wagner, sir, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys?
Not bad. What are you going to do? You got no game to call tonight. What the hell?
It's an empty feeling. Mm-hmm. I probably won't start to get itchy until about, 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the day and the pace really picks up during the baseball season. But yeah, it'll be a little bit of a void. And it's not like today I can just bolt up to Toronto and watch a game either.
Yeah.
Because the guys are on the road, which would have been awesome for all those connections from a Buffalo Bison and Blue Jay standpoint to be there for a lot of these guys' debuts coming up. Mm-hmm.
Ben, what do you make of these call-ups? It's a lot, nine plus John Mabry Jr. It's a lot of call-ups for a team to make.
A lot of call-ups, but also, I think, a few surprises. Mm-hmm. Guys like Kendall Graveman, not necessarily Daniel Norris because the stuff was just so electric this year. But, you leave out guys like Steve Delabarre, Rob Rasmussen, Kyle Drabek, guys that have gotten a look over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. Now the Blue Jays are kind of going with this youth movement. I think it's going to bring a lot of energy to a clubhouse, and you can pinpoint when Buffalo started to take off here at AAA. Mm-hmm. When some of these young guys started to filter their way into the clubhouse, the Bisons got really good, won 27 out of their final 40 games. And a lot of that was because they added a little bit of speed like Dalton Pompey, and they got a lot of solid pitching from Daniel Norris and Kendall Graveman and a couple other guys. So it wasn't exactly a total shock that the Blue Jays are going to test these young players and kind of move them up one rung closer and mm-hmm. see what they've got here in September and hopefully what turns into be a little bit more pressure of a situation. So I think it's a great thing for the organization.
Ben, what did you make of Steve Delabarre's year? Because, I admit I didn't pay particularly close attention to it, but he's a guy who was a good soldier for this organization last year, went to the All-Star game. ZRA is 289, I believe. Was he just at any point during the year, Ben, did he look to you like the guy we were seeing last year?
No, only a couple of flashes, a couple of specific games that it would look like he really had complete control, command of the fastball, plus the splitter. Everything was just living too high in the zone. And he gave up some hard contact while he was here. And I think that was ultimately a deciding factor on whether or not he was a promotion in September, whether the Blue Jays and the people that they had observing over the course of the last few weeks thought it would translate to success. And if it's not going to be successful at AAA, let alone the big leagues, why dangle his feet back in the water? So unfortunately, while there were certain strides made and he did find command at certain points, it just didn't have the consistency that one you need or you saw last year.
Yeah, Ben, you sounds like the Bisons had a really good, last 2 months. And it's funny that George Kitara showed up about the same time. And you, when you have young pitching at a AAA level and you want to call those guys up, it's always good to have a guy like George Kitara. Just give me your thoughts on what you saw from him and how he's going to help the Blue Jays big league club.
Well, George played, honestly, sparingly when he was in Buffalo because A.J. Jimenez, once he came off the disabled list, got a lot of the reps. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a name that everybody should be familiar with. He's the top catching prospect in the organization and has battled some health issues. But when he has been healthy, he has been behind the plate. And part of that maturation process, not only with George Gutierrez, but also Mike Nikias, they're trying to move A.J. along in game calling and crisping up his overall presence and working with the pitchers as well. Now, when George is in there, and again, he had a very erratic season, didn't get a lot of reps when he was in Columbus, didn't have a lot of playing time when he went up with Cleveland, didn't have a lot of playing time or opportunity as well in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. He was just trying to get his sea legs, I think. And this is a nice move. I think you always see guys and organizations bring up that backup catcher to help out and just lighten the load in other facets of the game and the day-to-day bullpen activity and the things that you have to do, honestly, to get ready for a game. George, while he was here for the last month or so, didn't get a lot just because of the depth that Buffalo had in terms of A.J. Jimenez behind the plate.
Mm-hmm. Ben Wagner joins us on Baseball Central. Ben, you've seen all of these pitching prospects, these bright pitching prospects for the Blue Jays. You've seen Sanchez. We've seen Stroman. Can you talk to me a little bit about Kendall Graveman and Daniel Norris and how similar or how different they may be to Sanchez and Stroman, the two guys that we have the most sort of firsthand experience with?
Well, I'll first talk about Daniel Norris. and what he was able to do in such a short window of time when he was in AAA. Debut, strikes out 10 in 5 2/3. 13 strikeouts, his second AAA outing, and just blowing guys away. Electric stuff. One of the best debuts, best sample sizes that I've seen, not only in Buffalo, now 8 seasons in, but also in AAA, period. And we've seen them all, the big names debut, like mm-hmm. Matt Harvey, and go on down the line. His stuff was just fantastic. There was one little hiccup in his final start of the year against Pawtucket. Just didn't have the good stuff against Henry Owens. And that was a big separator, but he also understands it. His mental stability is great. He's a great thinker about the process and selling out to the process as well in terms of preparation and making sure he's ready and prepared for every start. Now, that role has changed, but he also has completely bought in as well. But the stuff is the power left-handed guy, you know, mid-90s fastball, got a fantastic curveball, the changeup and slider. And he's going to depend on what pitch works well. And if the catcher says, hey, this really is looking good, or I see guys, you know, that are having trouble with this, he's going to buy in. He's going to say, all right, let's go to it. And that's one thing Mike Nicky has worked with him in his catching roles as well with Daniel when he first arrived. He said, out of the first start, we didn't use the curveball nearly enough. I saw in the bullpen, he said, we got to go to this. And that led to the 13 strikeout performance in Lehigh Valley. So the stuff is absolutely unbelievable. And I would rank it, his initial impression for me was better than Stroman and better than Sanchez.
Hmm.
So that's where I would rank him. I mean, again, last kind of down the stretch here with our Buffalo season, and Kendall Graveman was an amazing surprise. How about a year that this kid had? 14 wins over 4 different levels in the organization. That's unheard of. And the fact that he just commands all of his pitches, he's a sinker, cutter guy. He keeps the ball down. Everything seems to work either on the outside inch of the plate to maybe a couple of inches off the black, below the kneecaps to the middle of the thigh. And they're just perfectly placed pitcher pitches. He induces a ton of ground balls. He's not afraid of contact. He understands the guy that he is. He doesn't have the overpowering fastball, but he can change speeds and move it inside and out enough that it keeps guys off balance. It messes up the timing. And like we mentioned as well, he's a guy that goes out there and uses the defense behind him. And Ryan Goins was behind him, Jonathan Diaz as well. Got pretty good play from Brett Wallace and Dan Johnson over at first base when DJ was here rehabbing in his starts. So this is a well-rounded pitcher that is headed to the big leagues.
Right, Ben, you mentioned Ryan Goins. Ryan Goins is very intriguing to me just because of the way he plays defense. He's a game changer on that side of the ball. But offensively, he's had trouble making adjustments at this level. When he came down, did you see him making better adjustments so he could play every day at this level?
Better adjustments. He was trying to be a line drive hitter and do some of the little things as well that will make him valuable within the situation or his role. If there is, as a left-handed batter, if he needs to pull a ball to the right side to move a guy over to third, some of those little situational things he knows he needs to do. It looked to me as well, he made a slight adjustment with Richie Hebner in the batter's box. Instead of leaning back a little bit and putting some weight on the back leg like he's done in the past, looks like he's a little bit more upright and centered in the zone, and that helps get the hand started and faster through. So he felt really good about his swing and like where he's headed from one season, if you will, in terms of the minor league portion, now to September, and trying to prove himself and make it translate at the big league. Mm-hmm. He was almost a 300 hitter here. He knows he needs to be a lot better at the big leagues.